Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Chatting Bucks and NBA with us. You can find him on Twitter at OutsideTheNBA. Writer with CBS Sports, James Herbert joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. James, thanks for a couple of minutes. How you doing?
Hey, Jim.
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Hey, thanks for coming on here. You know, in the Eastern Conference, the Bucks are in rare air, we'll say. I mean, number one seed, best seed in the NBA right now. Do you think playoff experience is going to play any part? The fact that they have won a postseason series since 2001, will any of that, and have lost under Giannis, any of that play any part in getting away of them trying to get to the conference finals or the NBA finals?
I think it's something that if you're looking for things to be worried about with the Bucks, just because it's been such a charmed season, you can kind of bring that up. You could say, like, what if they fall behind 2-1 in a series? What if they have to win an elimination game? They haven't really faced any real adversity this year, so how do they respond in that situation when they haven't won a playoff series with this group? But I think that undersells kind of just how well this team fits and how well they've played this year under Bud. I mean, I don't really look at the last couple of times the Bucks were in the playoffs and think that has any bearing on how this particular Bucks team will do. I mean, it's just constructed so differently. As everybody has mentioned, Bud has completely reimagined their offense and their defense this season. So, sure, they might find themselves in a thorny situation and need to find a way to figure out a new it's kind of a new scenario for them when this season everything has seemed to come so easy. But I think that's more about sort of facing adversity rather than like not having won in the playoffs before. It's not like they've never been there. They have competed in the playoffs before. This isn't all totally new. So that wouldn't really be my main concern about the Bucks going into the playoffs. But I get why it comes up, just because I think people are kind of looking at this record, looking at their net rating being better than any team in the NBA, and kind of searching for something to kind of concern troll them about.
Well, if you want to search, you can look at some of the other teams in the East, too. I mean, I think there is clearly a top four with the Sixers, yep, the Celtics, Milwaukee, and then the Raptors. Where I keep going to, James, is that maybe it's the homer in me, but I don't see one of these teams in a seven-game series beating the Bucks four times. I just think that the Bucks have done so well responding to losses, responding to teams that they have lost to the next time they've seen them. Of those other three teams, who do you think is going to pose the toughest challenge for Milwaukee?
Yeah, it's a tough question because just these teams, like a couple of them are new. The Raptors and the Sixers made over their team at the trade deadline. The Celtics, there's just such a massive gulf between when they're at their best and when they're at their worst that it's like, are we going to see the Celtics find a new level in the playoffs? So I kind of go back and forth, but right now I'll say Toronto. I think the ceiling of that team, if everything is clicking, if Kawhi Leonard is on a different level, mind you, this is a guy that has said he's treating the entire regular season as if it's a practice and the real games start in the playoffs, then I think that is a team that, you know, they have a combination of some elite talent. They have good depth. They're extremely versatile. Some of these are the same qualities as the Bucks, of course, but I do think having the ability to throw a guy like Kawhi on Giannis, and then also have the option of, oh, like Pascal Siakam can check him for a few minutes. OG Anunoby can check him for a few minutes. Like, that is a luxury that most teams in the NBA don't have going against the Bucks. I'm not saying that Toronto would be favored in a series against Milwaukee. I think based on the regular season, that will not be the case. But I do think there's some upside there. And when that's another team that when they have really been clicking, when they have been at their best, they look, they have the ability to look incredible on both ends of the court. So just based on their high-end talent being different than it has been in years past with this Raptors team, and based on the versatility that they have in the lineup and their ability to play different ways and make adjustments, they have pretty innovative coach in Nick Nurse. I think that would be a really interesting conference finals if that's what turned out to be the case.
Yeah, I think the Sixers, man, could be that team. We're going to see them Sunday here at the Pfizer Forum against the Bucks. And, you know, Embiid sits out a couple of games, like six or seven, comes back, and he, you know, he's acting like he doesn't miss any playing time whatsoever. He drops like 35 on somebody. I mean, Embiid, I mean, he just gives them, I mean, a whole different look. I mean, when he's not in there, Philadelphia is decent. But when he's on that team, he makes Philly, I think, a great team.
Yeah, and he completely anchors their defense. And offensively, he is so skilled and he can operate from basically anywhere on the court now. I have a weekly column on CBS, and the sort of lead of that column that will go up later today is about the Sixers and specifically about their starting lineup. I feel like the buzz around them has kind of gone away since the trade deadline. Everybody was really excited, but then since Embiid didn't play for eight games after the All-Star break, it's kind of like, yeah, the Sixers, they're pretty good, but like obviously there's sort of more excitement around Milwaukee, and I think people give the Raptors and the Celtics like generally a better chance of getting out of the East than the Sixers. But the one thing that I would say about Philadelphia is like we haven't seen them consistently healthy since the trade deadline. That starting five that they have, the starting five everybody was like so pumped about when they acquired Tobias Harris, has played 83 minutes together. And by the way, in those 83 minutes, they're outscoring teams by like 24 points per 100 possessions. So they're just destroying teams. Now, it's a really tiny sample size. I obviously want to see how the rest of the season plays out. But I think just based on their starters, that is a team with a really high ceiling. I think they have questions about them in terms of what they can get from the reserves, how the chemistry is going to work, and that sort of thing. But they have incredible talent in that starting five. And as you said, Embiid is just a total game-changing presence out there. And you never know when he is going to come out and have a particularly efficient night and just look impossible to stop. And because of the way that they're constructed, you can't just throw double teams at him all night. Because they have so much talent around them. So, yeah, that is what makes the East so compelling. It's like I can sit here and, like, sort of extol the virtues of Toronto as the team that's, like, Milwaukee's biggest challenger. And then a minute later, I can go on about the Sixers and their upside. Like, there are four legitimate contenders in the Eastern Conference. And aside from Milwaukee, these three other teams have just gone through a lot of weird stuff this year, and we don't know exactly what the best version of themselves on a consistent basis will look like.
We'll see what version we get on Sunday. Bucks Sixers at Pfizer Forum, 2:30 national TV on ABC as we talk with James Herbert. You can follow him on Twitter at Outside the NBA. Got to ask you about your take on Middleton. Chris Middleton is he's a polarizing figure here because he's probably going to be in line for a ton of money. And when we talk to Bucks fans, nobody thinks that he's worth the money he'll end up getting. And then when we talk to guys who cover the league nationally, they say, no, he's an all-star. Bucks fans will say, yeah, he got voted in because the Bucks were good. And then national guys will say, he's an all-star because he's that good. Where do you fall on Chris Middleton and what the Bucks should do with him this offseason?
Yeah, I think losing him would be kind of disastrous. And I understand the sort of worry and concern about paying him a max contract. When you just look at the value of that contract, you just kind of like you get the shakes a little bit. You're like, this isn't a typical superstar. He's not a guy that's going to be averaging in the high 20s in terms of points per game. He's not going to be a guy that attracts double teams all the time. But I think in today's NBA, when you have a guy that can help your team without touching the ball because you can space the floor, when you have a guy that can make plays off the dribble, can get you a bucket in isolation, and then also can guard multiple positions and do so very competently and switch across multiple positions when needed, that's an extremely valuable player. And yeah, like national writers have been paying attention to Middleton for years. I know a couple of my friends in this business, Ben Dollar of the Washington Post, Rob Mahoney from SI, have been like big upping him for like probably 5-6 years now, and probably felt some degree of redemption when he made the All-Star team this year. But I understand if there are people in Milwaukee who, as soon as he makes the All-Star team, kind of worry and say, oh, no, does this mean we're going to have to pay this guy like $30 million? And I would say it's just the NBA's economic system is not a perfect one. And since they do have max contracts, it's not like you have the ability to go and pay Giannis like $55 million and then pay Middleton $30 million and for that to make sense. Like the max contracts just sort of get flat, and it's not like every max contract is equal. And I think there's going to be a lot of demand for Middleton services this summer, and rightfully so, because he's a guy that can fit into almost any situation. So I do think Milwaukee will have to spend if they want to keep him. And while I did earlier say it would be disastrous if they let him go, I do think it's easy for me to say, because it's not just paying Middleton, right? Like, they have to think about what they want to pay Malcolm Brogdon, what they're willing to pay Brooke Lopez, who has obviously increased his value in an incredible way this year. So I think this summer is going to be interesting for the Bucks on a number of levels, but it'd be kind of a shame, in my opinion, to see Middleton go somewhere else after he's established himself in Milwaukee and been such a big part of their ride.
I was reading the other day how team officials in Los Angeles had begged Magic Johnson to keep Brook Lopez on this team and said, you got to sign him, you got to keep him on this team, and he let him go, and the Bucks got him on the cheap. I mean, the Bucks, he fell into the Bucks' lap, which I thought, at the time, I thought, man, that's a great signing. And at 30 years old, he's a guy you got to re-sign. He's a good fit on this team. Maybe shoots a little, maybe three-pointers for my liking once in a while. But, man, I'm mystified how he was available for like $3.5 million on the free agent market.
Yeah, it was the biggest bargain of the summer. And it's funny, like, I think that stuff coming out about the Lakers and, like, who was persuading who to sign him. Like, I think that is just a sign in itself of kind of a destabilized organization and how it's sort of breaking into factions there with how the season has gone totally wrong. Like, a unified organization, that stuff wouldn't come out, right, about certain people blaming each other through the media for who let Brook Lopez go. But I do think at the time it was mystifying. I mean, Lopez didn't have an incredible year last year. Like, he was sometimes benched by Luke Walton. It was a little bit confusing, but I think the moment they got LeBron, you thought, oh, a floor spacing five would be perfect on a LeBron James team, and instead they go and get JaVale McGee. So yeah, that was weird in the moment, and I think the signing in Milwaukee looked good in the moment, but it's sort of like the Budenholzer hire, right? Like, everybody praised the Bucks for going and getting Mike Budenholzer to run the team, and like what the potential of this team was, but the results have so far exceeded any reasonable expectation that you just kind of shake your head. I mean, Brook Lopez, what he has done defensively has been amazing, just as a rim protector for the best defense in the NBA, and by far the best rim protecting team in the NBA. And then on the other end, like, you mentioned the threes, which is, that story has been written so many times about how this guy who is like exclusively a post-up player has embraced the three-point line and understands how he can help this team by just launching with no conscience, sometimes several feet behind the arc. But to me, on offense, it's not just the threes. He makes guard-like plays from the perimeter. You will see him attacking closeouts, getting to the basket, putting the ball on the floor. As a seven-footer to basically function as a wing on offense, I mean, that is something that I personally never expected to see from Brook Lopez in a million years. So, yeah, I think the partnership between Lopez and Budenholzer, Lopez and the Bucks, has been amazing, and that is great for this season, and it's easy to say they should keep him. But the problem is, like, there are going to be a lot of teams this summer that are going to throw money at him. And let's say somebody throws out, like, one of those, like, J.J. Redick-like deals with Philadelphia, where 2 years ago they were just like, here, take $20 million for 1 year. We want you to come in and make this team better. Like, if somebody does that to Brook Lopez, what are the Bucks to do? Like, what does he do? Is he willing to sacrifice some money to stay in the system where he's so comfortable, where they unlocked another part of his game? These are questions I can't answer yet.
Yeah, he ain't taking $3 million again. I know that.
Right, yeah. I can say that for sure, too.
James Herbert, follow him on Twitter at OutsideTheNBA, CBS Sports. James, appreciate some time. We'll talk to you soon.
Hey, Jim.
Absolutely. Thank you.
James Herbert joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019? Look no further and call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local common sense lending to your community since 1935.
Yeah. T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.